was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is Ski at TSB Ski. King not on the program this week because of technical issues. We tried to get him on for a while, and it just didn't work out. So we're going to regroup with him next week. It's a shame because there are some obviously like very big things to talk about this week, and I knew he would have some very hot opinions on those things. But, you know, we can always ask him about it next week. Whatever. It is what it is. But, yeah, Braganski in with you for this week. Movie this Sunday is Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters, 1984? Yeah, 1984 Ghostbusters. It is on HBO Max, so if you want to watch that and listen to us talk about it, do it. Again, we're on Twitter, at TSB Pod, at TSB Ski, also on Discord, The Sports Brewery, and YouTube, search for The Sports Brewery. I post these videos afterwards. And, of course, we're on Twitch right now, twitch.tv/abrog87, and then, you know, podcasting everywhere. So, Ski, where should we start? We've been bullshitting for like the last 30 minutes, so all of our bullshitting is like out. I was saying, by the way, like down the road, if we ever run into a situation like this, I'd be curious for listener and viewer thoughts. But like, if we ever run into any technical stuff down the road, would you be down to just listen to the other two people bullshit while one person gets it worked out? Because it does happen sometimes. So I'd be curious. Let us know. But
I don't know. I assume probably got to start with LeBron, right?
We should probably start with LeBron.
Kind of a big thing.
Yeah, is it? Is it becoming the NBA's all-time leading scorer? Is that a big deal?
Well, most people. But Aaron Fentress, yeah. Not so much.
Yeah.
Probably Michael Wilbon, not so much.
Why?
But to the rest of us, pretty important.
Like, why get butthurt about stuff like that? It's so silly. So like, I noticed the same thing Fentress noticed. So if you don't know who Aaron Fentress is, you know, why are you listening to this podcast? But he is a Oregonian writer, curmudgeon, Michael Jordan fanboy. You know, literally the NBA does not exist without Michael Jordan to him. And so LeBron breaks the record. They stop the game, have a ceremony with like 10 seconds left in the third quarter, and that's what he points out. His point was like, hey, why don't you let the quarter run out and then let the Thunder just chill on the bench while you do this little ceremony.
And I agree with that, but the way he said it was, you know, not making a good point. It was just throwing shade at LeBron.
He came off as curmudgeon-y, which is what he is. So that totally makes sense. No, I agree with him too. It was weird. But as the weirdness went on and you saw like Adam Silver and Kareem came out, Kareem, really good energy for his age. That was cool to see. And then Kareem hands him the ball. Like
he was getting a little sleepy on the sideline there when that game was going.
Sleepy,
it was pretty late. That was a late game.
Sleepy Kareem? Is that his nickname now?
It might be, but I mean, he is almost 80. So
he's real old. He had a career of basketball and kung fu fighting against Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee.
Exactly.
I mean, what are we doing here?
And he was an airplane. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was a cool ass moment, man. It really was. Like I probably would have done like a ceremony right when the game ended or something like that, instead of right after it happened. I thought that was really, really weird. But how many times?
Well, you get in the moment, LeBron dropping F bombs.
Yes,
because of that, though.
Which is fantastic. And you know, like 38 years since Kareem broke the record, like this doesn't happen. This is like a once a lifetime scenario. So you know what? Fuck it. We'll stop a game in the middle of it. And we'll celebrate LeBron, which is cool. And then tonight he did a pregame ceremony before the Bucks game and didn't play. So
yeah. And I said to you while we were waiting for King, LeBron kind of didn't show up after he broke the record as well.
Yeah, yeah, he stopped.
He took, I think he took two shots in the fourth quarter in a semi-close game.
Yeah,
at home.
Yeah, the game will be remembered as a loss to the Thunder.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not great, but yeah.
But I did hear a lot of talk of people saying that they thought this was an unbreakable record. I was wondering, I never saw this one as unbreakable. Which records do you think are like the unbreakable ones?
Ooh, I don't know. Give me some like options. I'm curious.
Like I would say like Ricky Henderson steals.
The stolen base record, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he has like 350 more than second place, and guys just don't steal bags anymore.
That's true.
I don't know, Cal Ripken game played, consecutive games played.
Probably the Cal Ripken one, if we're being honest, right? Like those are sort of the ones, like the longevity ones, because guys just can't do that shit anymore. And not only can't do that shit, they just don't even want to. Like we see it in the NBA, like LeBron didn't play tonight. Guys do workload days. Like they do that shit in baseball too. It's just,
I think scoring records and stuff can go. They could get taken down still. I mean, look at like Connor McDavid right now in hockey. I mean, he's every year is just a monster. I mean, Ovechkin is, you know, just got his like 800 and whatever goal.
Absolutely. Like the rules change, the game changes, the way athletes can prepare changes. And so like, athletes continue to get better as the year goes on. They don't get worse. And so scoring records are going to go away. Yeah. WCP mentions DiMaggio's hit streak.
See, that could get broken though. If someone just gets hot, that theoretically in my eyes could, like Cy Young wins and losses. No pitcher pitches that much anymore. That record's never going to get broken.
1,000%. Yep. 1,000%. Or like the complete games record. Like never going to happen. Pitchers don't do complete games anymore.
Unless they shorten games to 7 innings all of a sudden.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't it be crazy, like 30 years down the road, like we're old ass men and the game's changed so much to where it like reverts back to that.
But
where they have
guys throwing like every 3 games, 2 CGs every game. It'd be awesome.
2 or 3 man rotations. That'd be great.
Oh, there's a reason why the fucking baseball was dog shit back in the day.
Yeah.
Because you got old farmers coming in throwing every other game, throwing 300 pitches at like 70-mile-an-hour fastballs.
No, I got a fastball, and I got a slower fastball. That's it. They would just not throw it as hard and fool guys.
And there's no minorities that can rake off me, which...
Thank you.
Big factor back in the day.
And all the whites thought that taking meth before baseball games was a good idea.
Well, so I still think that is a good idea still.
Oh yeah? You're doing that before your softball games?
I haven't played softball in a long time, but if it was in the form of greenies, yes, I would have hammered greenies before every game. I don't know why they're banned. They're fantastic. Get a little pep in your step.
A little pep.
Get a little pep
in the bat.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I mean it's sort of the conversation we used to have with Brady like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe more. The conversation we would have with LeBron 5 or 6 years ago. It's like are they the best ever? Remember, people, you know, used to not consider Brady the greatest of all time. And then that argument like completely went away. He like kept winning Super Bowls. He won a Super Bowl with Tampa, and it's like, okay, like he's the best quarterback ever. Like you can't win that many Super Bowls, can't get that many MVPs, can't have the numbers he's had. You cannot have those things and not be the best ever. And so now you have that argument with LeBron.
Well, here's the rub now though. Then that would mean Bill Russell is the best basketball player.
Because of the titles. But
the titles and MVPs.
No. I'm saying like, but now you have to have the stats too, and so you have to have all of those things. Like you have to win.
I think Bill Russell just didn't play long enough to, you know, get up on the leaderboards of things.
He was
best evers. I think they go by eras of the sport. Is how it should be deemed. Because you can't take a baseball play a player from the aughts. He was facing nobodies, but he could have been the best. You don't know. You just can't equate these different athletes in different eras to each other.
Yeah, I get that argument. Also, LeBron's now the best player ever. I think we can say that. And like we're dudes who watched LeBron or watched Michael, and fully acknowledge that Michael, you know, missed a couple years because his dad died and he had a nervous breakdown, decided to play baseball, and then he left because of like the gambling stuff too, right? Isn't that one of the reasons he left? That's the rumor.
That was part of it. Well, yeah, when you get your dad killed for your gambling debts, you might step away from the game from a little bit.
Allegedly. Oh shit!
Oh well, right in time of Jordan killing his dad, King.
Yeah. Can you hear us? All right, man.
I can. Oh my god!
Here he is. All right, cool. All right, you're just in time. WCP in the chat mentioned Wilt Chamberlain's numbers. Would you like to talk about Wilt Chamberlain?
Am I Mike the Mad Dog Russo? Like,
yes, you are.
I know.
He was 7 inches taller than everyone he was playing against. Of course, he's going to average 25 rebounds a night. Yeah. I mean, come on.
And score a billion points. He's like one of the only black guys on the court. He's 7'5". And, like, nobody's going to be able to stop him.
I mean, if Jordan had farmers guarding him, what did Wilt have guarding him?
Oh, I mean, Jordan had mailmen guarding him.
Mailmen, or at least they're active, right? No, farmers are active, too.
I mean, technically...
Wilt had some less.
I would definitely put Craig Elo in the farmer category, by the way.
Yes, I do love some of the Jordan highlights. With like, oh, he cooked Mark Price. Good for you, Michael Jordan. Good. Oh, did you see that jumper over Jeff Hornacek?
I was just... Why do we go to Jeff Hornacek? I was just thinking him.
I mean, he beat the Jazz twice in the finals. Like, really? Yeah. I mean, come on.
I would consider Brian Russell a farmer as well.
Ooh, that's a little racist there. But
is it? So we got... So we just got done talking about, you know, sort of the legacy thing with LeBron in terms of, you know, if you're going to be considered a greatest of all time, like Brady, you know, I mentioned we had the discussion like 5 or 6 years ago where it's like, is Brady actually the greatest of all time? And then he keeps winning titles, you know, longevity, like puts up huge numbers consistently. Yeah, he's the greatest of all time. Like that conversation just went away. Like everybody considers him that. And with LeBron, now you got the titles, you got the MVPs, and now you're the NBA's all-time leading scorer. Like you kind of have to be the greatest of all time, right?
Well, there's two ways. There are three people in this conversation. There's the person that says Jordan's the best. There's the person that says LeBron is the best. Okay. Wherever you fall on that line, whatever. You're really going to get upset about one or two. Then there are the non-faithful actors who are like, who bring up someone like Kobe or I saw this excerpt on George Twitter.
Mikan. George Mikan was the best NBA player ever.
I saw an excerpt on Twitter yesterday and it was from a Portland columnist who said LeBron, good. You know, a good player for his generation. But he's no Michael. He's no Kareem. He's no Kobe. He's no Magic. He's no... Oh, I forget where it was. He went to six. And the sixth one was, he's no Larry Bird. And I was like, you're going to sit here and just say LeBron's the seventh best player of all time. Like,
fuck out of here, man.
And hey, I love Larry Legend too, but come on.
I mean, he's great.
Give me a break.
He's great. But he's no Larry Bird.
How do you say that with faith actors
right there.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you say that with a straight face, man? Like, it's insane.
It's insane.
A big one they bring up with Jordan is like all his defensive accolades that he's gotten. That's because there was probably only about 5 or 6 guys that were just that much better than everyone and could play defense.
Well, but also
there are scrubs out here that are good at defense now.
I feel like the defensive player or defensive first team or whatever that talking point is kind of funny, because if someone is positioning themselves as the Jordan guy, they will bring that out, right?
Yep. And that's why I saw Fentress bring out. That's why.
And they will say, you know, back in Jordan's day, you could hand check. You know, it was so much harder to score because you could be cheap and whatever. Well, then does that not translate over to his defense? Yeah. He just hand checked people, and he was hand checking Bob Lanier in 1986. Listen, we lived through Jordan and LeBron. I don't care where anyone here falls on that particularly, but I refuse to believe anyone with a straight face can say players in the mid 80s were better than players now.
Like athletic.
I don't even think players like you watch Clyde Drexler highlights, and from about like 1987 on, you're like, and he kind of could jump.
You know, the crazy thing about Drexler is like we remember him with the Blazers, and he was like balding, you know, sort of aged, falling apart, and it's like he was like in his late 20s. he looked way more weathered than he should have.
Well, there's also a reason why they called him the glide. They didn't call him the jump. It's because he didn't get up that high. He kind of just he'd go for a long distance instead of a high distance.
Yeah,
I mean, like, and again, I just want people to think: what would have happened if, from 1982 to 1998, a Kevin Durant was just helicoptered into the NBA?
Right.
Oh my God! What are you going to do with that alien back then? Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, just look what happened when Shaq got into the league. A guy that size and athletic, he dominated for years until he got kind of fat and started getting a little injured. But
there's a beautiful argument out there that Shaq had like the most dominant like 5 year stretch. Like last 2 years in Orlando, or well, I guess it's not really a perfect 5 years, but that three-peat. Some of the Lakers, but those Orlando years, like, man, there was a stretch there where he was just a fucking freak, man.
Yeah.
Imagine Bill Russell going up, just a crane lifting Shaq down, and Bill Russell has to play Shaq. It's just.
So they always bring up like, oh, you know, the NBA was tougher back then, you know, shit. Like, it's because these guys were so slow. If they get beat, they just threw a fucking elbow in someone's head. That's how they would have defended Shaq. Just would have hammered him because they can't keep up with him.
Like when that conversation comes up and someone says like Bill Laimbeer, I'm like, do you really want to see a bunch of Bill Laimbeers running around? No, you don't. Was he really good at basketball? Not particularly. He was just tall. And
we had that for a lot of years with like Chris Kaman out there playing.
Chris Kaman would have dominated the 80s.
Yeah. Dominated.
I was just going to say, because I got Lakers and Bucks on the TV right now. Brook Lopez lumbering up and down the floor. Brook Lopez would dominate the NBA in like the 60s and the 70s. Like Brook Lopez would be a Hall of Famer.
like 5 or 6 years ago when he was with the Nets, he was like first team All NBA.
He was.
Dropping like 28
a night. Did you know that Brook Lopez is the all-time leading scorer in Nets history?
Nets history?
That's great.
With a little under 11,000 points.
That's a, by the way, perfect transition into the NBA trades. Thank you for that. Should we start with what the Blazers did before we get to the big ones? Or do you want to talk KD and Kyrie and stuff?
No, well, here's what I will say on the Blazers is... The NBA is about to hammer down their first like streaming deal contract, and then the TV deal is up in 2025. Jody Allen is not selling the team until the streaming and the new TV deal is in place, because granted, she's a billionaire just by being a sister of Paul Allen. She didn't really do anything, but she would be kind of a dummy to turn down that extra like $900 million in valuation from a sale. So she's not selling until 2025, which means the new ownership isn't coming until 2026. Damian Lillard is not going to be a factor in Portland by the time the new ownership really gets entrenched.
So you're saying she's not going to spend any money on...
Why would she? Because she knows. I mean, she knows if she just waits 2 years, she's going to make an extra $1 billion. And granted, Phil Knight totally lowballed her. Like, was it $2.1 or $2.2 billion was the offer?
Yeah.
Total lowball. Complete lowball. And it's a little different because the stadium deals and all that stuff are just kind of, you know, they vary from place to place. The Suns just sold for what, like $4.5 billion? They sold for what the Broncos sold for, which is unimaginable. The Clippers selling, you know, what, 6-7 years ago to Ballmer for $2 billion feels fucking quaint now.
Steal of a deal for Ballmer there.
Now. Deal of a deal. So she's not selling for a couple years, and Dame won't be a factor at that point. He's not finishing his career here. So I'm really not, like, in a lather about it.
So this is the right move, then, because they got a lot of picks.
Well, that's – I mean, I don't even want to say it's the right move because, but you know, whatever. But
it's a move, at least.
It's just how the Blazers are going to operate now for the next, like, 3+ years. Because Jody Allen, she doesn't even hide it. She doesn't like basketball. And that's completely fine. But she is holding the franchise hostage by doing the smart business decision of not selling. Because she could sell tomorrow to Phil Knight for $3.3 billion. I'm kind of making up a number there. And the Blazers would be better for it in a year or so. But she's just not. I don't blame her. Because she doesn't care. Didn't care.
And I guess how good your team is doesn't really factor much into the cost of it either.
Not even a little bit.
I think the thing is that the Blazers own the Rose Garden, which is a big thing. And they also, I think they own the Rose Quarter for like $1 a year, and the city of Portland pays, you know, on their own to maintain it. So it's a sweetheart deal for them property wise. So,
and by the way, when that eventually happens, like when the TV deal happens, Jody's ready to sell. She does sell. It's not going to be Phil Knight. Phil Knight, like, I hate to say this, like, it's morbid, but Phil Knight might not be around at that point.
No, absolutely. So, he died. He's old.
He's very old.
If he's alive in 3 years, I think it would still be like Phil Knight adjacent. Like, it's the trust of Phil Knight, which is tricky though.
Yeah.
His kids aren't, well, he only has one son. Oh. And he isn't really in that realm.
Not even a little bit, yeah. Yeah, and as we're learning with Jody Allen, the trusts are tricky, yeah.
Yeah, the shitty thing is if it's not Phil Knight, who are they selling to? Because as we've seen with PDX...
Anyone would get in, though.
MLB to PDX, there's not many, like, one donor owners in that area.
Get outside of Portland and Oregon in general, and just
it
get
would
someone
have to.
With a shit ton of money that, you know, because that's kind of the new big thing now is the people get into these ownerships.
Oh, it's, you know, great. If you can get into it, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of people bidding on the team.
And you
just want to get the right person that cares to invest in the teams, whoever that is.
And, you know, the boogeyman thing is that, oh, they'll sell to someone who's going to move the team. Adam Silver's been pretty upfront. He's not allowing the Blazers. Like, they're not moving. He saw the Seattle fiasco. They're not.
And again, why wouldn't you just expand the league and bring in more
money? They will. Seattle and Vegas. That'll be the expansion. The Blazers will stay in Portland. But it's just hard because – I mean, I've mentioned it before. I don't really watch their games anymore until I see whether it's an ESPN alert or a text or Twitter. If I see that Damian Lillard has 37 points at half or you know, 40 through 3. I'm tuning in. But they've I just know where they sit. So I'm not invested in that way anymore.
Oh, I mean, they're a play-in team.
And the shit, and the funny thing, the funny thing about the Blazers is, did they make the playoffs last year, or was that the year before, where the Nuggets kind of summarily dismissed them?
No, last year they did not.
Okay, so it was a year before. Okay,
Dame was out all year.
That's right, they tanked. You're right. I was thinking of the The funny thing is the Blazers. You know, we're really rather realistic with them, but we're kind of masochistic with them. And the NBA is such an imbalanced league that the Blazers are still somehow like the 12th best franchise in the sport. And that's not even it's not a brag. It's not even, it's just, there are so many franchises that are multitudes way worse. The Kings, you know, hey, good for them. They're like 30-23 right now. They're turning it around. They haven't made the playoffs in like 20 years. And there are franchises like that exist throughout the league.
I mean, until Curry, that was the Warriors for
our
entire lifetime up until then.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
It can always get worse. There are examples of that.
Go ahead.
I was going to go back to the trade, so finish it off.
No, I was going to go on trade stuff too. So
all right, yeah. So as for the trades themselves, I mean, it's a wash.
Stop.
Trade Hart.
We got to pour one out for Josh Hart. Like Blazers legend, Josh Hart. Like,
how we had for a year and a half.
Fucking lived in Larry Nance's house.
Fucking,
pour one out.
Fucking love that guy, man. He's like, he's one of those dudes who was like, we hardly knew ye, Josh Hart. You weren't with us very long, but damn it, we loved you, man. And he was a decent player. I mean, he was definitely better when he first got to Portland. And sort of went downhill after that and didn't really do much lately. But, like, I understand why they traded Josh Hart, because he's really one of the only pieces of, like, actual value that somebody would want. But still, really funny guy, like, really cool dude, and a decent player. So,
yeah, but, I mean, you get – I mean, I'm not going to say Cam Reddish is fucking good.
No.
He's still 23, but you never know. But they got a first-round pick for Hart.
None of the players they got in any of the deals, so they made three of them. Like, none of the players are even close to good.
Tibble's a wash with Peyton. They're both defense guys that don't do much on offense.
The Gary Payton thing is so weird.
Yeah.
Like,
I saw something where there's something where he did not want to be in Portland at all.
But why did he sign there then?
I don't know.
He signed a contract,
buyer's remorse, I guess.
Well, and like,
he came back healthy and was just not playing after he came back cleared.
I think it was around Christmas time. I saw a little thing. It must have been on Root or whatever the fuck that channel's called now, where they were talking about his abdominal injury. And it was Ant who was kind of saying something like, oh yeah, every day, you know, we come in and play and someone asks me, is GP2 playing? And he said something really kind of snide, but laughed it off because it's, you know, it's a team interview. And I kind of started thinking about it. I was like, are they like almost accusing GP2 of like not coming back in time?
That's what I'm saying.
And then you started hearing that he's not happy. He didn't want to be here. I'm like, I wonder if it just didn't work. Like, it just, him and the teammates just
I got something for you. So he leaves Golden State, living in the Bay Area, chilling with Steph and Clay and, you know, doing Bay Area shit, which is generally
good. On his salary, he was not chilling around Steph and Clay.
Fair.
No,
but where location, much better than Portland. Signs his deal, gets his money, gets to Portland, and then suddenly can't play. And so he's not playing. He's living in Portland, which is decidedly worse than where he previously was. And now he's like, fuck, this sucks. Like, He did live in Corvallis. Yeah. That's what I was thinking as I was saying that.
No.
But that was college. I'm just saying. I get it. Like, life life gets in the way sometimes. And so if you're not playing and you're forced to just like spend all your days hanging out in Portland, I could see somebody not liking that. I like Portland.
But I think I could have a really good time in Portland for $10 million a year.
Same. I could figure it out.
You're doing all right.
Yeah.
I think I'd have fun in Cleveland too, and Detroit. I'm just saying.
I've had a good time in Portland with $10. I could figure it out. I'm just saying.
Let me see this replay. Khalil Ware might have just postered two dudes on one play.
You guys still watching the Ducks? Good for you.
Hey, man. They're on the bubble, according to Joe Lenardi.
Somehow.
I don't understand it either. They're 15-10, and they're not very good.
I did look at the rest of their. They have, including this game tonight, they have 7 games left. 6 of them are very winnable, must win. When they go 6, when they get to 20 wins, going 6-1.
I was looking at the ESPN like FPI thing today, which is whatever. And out of their last 7 games, their biggest like FPI underdog status is on the road in Pullman. By like a lot. It's like an 80% Coug win. And then I look
even at
Cougs.
Home against UCLA?
Yes. And then I look at the Cougs record. I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
No. No, here's the replay. Let's see if it.
Big dunk.
Not quite a vicious poster, but. Two guys contesting the shot. The
fair
dunk.
Enough. Fair enough. So, so in these Blazers trades, back to them real quick, just before we move on to the ones that actually matter. So they get rid of GP2, get rid of Josh Hart, get a bunch of players you've never heard of, other than Matisse Thybulle, and a lot of picks. Like they got 5 second round picks as part of the GP2 trade. They got a conditional first rounder in the Josh Hart deal that is probably going to end up another second rounder. So, you know, whatever. And then, yeah, that was it. That was it. So,
and well, the other part is second round picks. Well, that first one round sticks around as a first rounder. That's value at least. But
sure. Yeah.
How terrible is Nurk that he couldn't get moved?
Oh,
no one wanted him.
Well, that's the question.
And I don't think he wants to be there anymore either.
That's the question now, though, is like, why didn't the Blazers like actually
work?
I think they tried. So try to move Nurk, like even try to move Dame.
No, they're not.
I don't think there was anything happening.
Not yet.
This is a bad year for that, by the way, because Dame is balling out right now.
But the thing with Nurk is I knew, you know, I'd seen some things in the last like 10 days about him potentially getting moved. And you see that from national people, and you're like, okay, like, am I going to doubt that Chris Haynes has info? No, of course not. But when you start seeing, like, team writers, like guys who are in the locker room every day, mention that they're going to look to move him, you're like, oh. Yeah, they really, like, they are definitely looking to move him.
That means it's being talked about. Like, that means it's being talked about around the team. Like, if the beat writers are writing about it.
Yeah.
It changes things, yeah.
My take on Nurk is a Nurk guy.
We know your take on Nurk. Yeah. Like, it's the same as ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the big ones. So I think it started off with the Kyrie deal. So Kyrie going to Dallas. So Kyrie and Markieff Morris to Dallas for Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, and a first rounder like 7 years from now. Yep. And then 2 second round picks. So like a couple of the moves. So like Kyrie going to Dallas and then Westbrook going to Utah. Like those are sort of funny fits for me. Like Westbrook just playing for Utah. I can't even imagine that.
He won't. They're going to buy him out.
They're going to buy him out. Okay. All right. So I had not heard that. That, by the way, that's happening with a lot of these deals. So a lot of the players are getting traded to teams, and the teams are just like, yeah, we're going to buy you out. We're going to fix our cap space or whatever the hell they're doing it for. But, you know, Kyrie now going to play in Dallas with Luka. And so if he
not
actually plays,
fits in my eyes.
It's weird. It's a weird
fit, though.
It's a weird fit, right? Because
Luka has the ball in hand. The whole time,
Luka brings the ball up the floor every single possession, And so now you're going to get the ball out of his hands and give it to Kyrie. Like, Luka's not an off-ball guy. Like, he's not going to beat a dude with speed, like, come off screens, like, shoot jumpers. Like, he can do those things, but that's not his game at all. So it's a...
Yeah, and what's Kyrie's best attribute? His ball handling. He's probably the best ball handler in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, he's going to be their point guard, but what does that do to Luka? I don't know.
Well,
do they post him up on guys now, or like what's? It's gonna be interesting to see.
Luka's stats just start plummeting.
What's that?
I said I'm probably gonna see Luka's stats start plummeting here. He's not gonna be averaging 10 assists a night now.
It's a weird trade. Like we've talked about how shitty Kyrie is. Just he's like a locker room cancer, that kind of stuff, but. Like, just basketball-wise, it doesn't really make sense either. It's really weird.
But at least it's Cuban. At least it's a big swing.
It is. And Cuban thinks he can make anything work.
Yeah, and Cuban, so. Cuban took a big swing on Porzingis a few years ago, which a vastly inferior player to Kyrie, and it didn't work. And this one's not going to work either because it's Kyrie and... But hey, like it's sizzle. As a Blazer fan, give me an anti-Semite if he can put up 30 with ease. It's just fun. I know it's not going to work, but you know.
I'm saying, like, for what you got, like the Zer's getting Kyrie and Markieff Morris for the likes of Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, and some draft picks. Like, yeah, do that. Like trade Hart. Like make Hart part of that deal. And, throw in Nurk. I bet Cuban would take Nurk. Like, Nurk and Hart for Kyrie and Markieff Morris? Yeah. Do that deal. Okay. I mean, the Blazers, already have 80 point guards, so what the hell? Add another one.
Well, that's why jumping ship here over to the KD deal here.
Yeah.
When I saw what the Suns gave up for KD, I was like, oh, the Blazers could easily... match that with talent and picks if KD wanted to go to Portland to play with Dame.
Well, did you see the report from The Athletic today that basically the Nets only talked to the Suns?
Well, it kind of sounded because like KD only wanted them to.
He did. And for some reason, the Nets owner, Joe Tsai, was very okay just negotiating with Phoenix, which is an odd business move, but...
Well, they got a nice return for him.
Well, it's weird because they get four first-round picks, but what are those first-round picks going to be? Like, the Suns are good, and you just traded them a really good player, so they're not going to be good draft picks. Like, what value did you really get? Like, Mikal Bridges? I mean, he's good.
Fine. Like Cam Johnson?
Crowder? Like,
Well, Crowder got moved instantly.
Crowder was gone, right? Yeah. And with four first-round picks, I mean, okay. Okay. I guess how many years did they have left of KD? Like actually healthy, good years are left of KD.
I think he has 2 years left on his contract. So you're getting him to at least he's 36.
Okay.
And they weren't moving KD until this whole Kyrie thing came about anyway. So
no,
it was kind of like once the Kyrie thing happens, like, oh shit, we're stuck with pretty much just Kevin Durant. And that's about it. I mean, Ben Simmons, whenever he plays, I don't even know when he played or.
As an aside, the Ben Simmons thing is so weird because Ben Simmons is such a whimpering fart in the wind now that no one even makes fun of him. Like he's not even Russell Westbrook, where every night people are making fun of Russell Westbrook because he can at least put up 20 inefficiently. Ben Simmons is just a guy who meanders in and goes for 6, 7, and 4 every night. Like he's Jacques Vaughn. Like he's his coach. That's who Ben Simmons is a very good looking Jacques Vaughn.
He's a taller Jacques Vaughn.
A physically imposing Jacques Vaughn.
But can't drop 50 in a game like Jacques Vaughn.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's wild.
Has no interest in it.
Sports culture now is so we attack everybody. You know, like, I mean, Tuesday, people were attacking LeBron. People are going to attack Mahomes if he loses on Sunday. That's what we do to good players. Great players. Ben Simmons is not even worth trolling on Get Up and First Take and whatever Skip and Shannon show is called. Like, he's just not even worth it anymore.
It's like they
doesn't even seem like he wants to play anymore.
No, people spent 3 years doing that already, and he got worse. And so it's like, okay, well, I mean, why? Why are we still talking about this person? Like, he's not relevant. If a guy who averages 5 points a game is not relevant to, like, make fun of anymore. It's almost sad.
Well, he's still getting paid a lot of money. That's sure is. The only thing to keep complaining about.
Yeah. So, by the way, you mentioned the Chiefs. Let's transition into, like, some football stuff. So, like, how are you feeling?
You know, it's weird, man. I don't know. I don't even really care about the Super Bowl this year. Like, I do. Like, I want them to win.
No, this, look at this motherfucker. It's like, yo, guys, I got my ring a few years ago. Like, I'm good. Like,
no, it's just like they've been there 3 out of 4. I know they'll be there again. It's just not the same as it was.
Yeah, just couldn't be bothered, guys. I mean, whatever. We got rings. It's cool.
They'll get another couple at some point. I mean, it just is what it is. And no one's going to – Mahomes isn't getting to 7, so I don't have to worry about that. It's just, you know, I just know he's going to retire with, you know, 3 or 4 rings and 6 or 7 appearances. It just
– this is definition of taking it for granted.
Oh, I totally am. Oh, 100%. 100%. There's no question about it. I just – you're like when Oregon made the Final Four in 2017.
Yeah.
It was like, we may never see this again. I know they'll get to the Sweet 16 a bunch. I know they'll get to the Elite Eight a couple, you know. Final Four, though, big deal.
Yep.
The Chiefs, they're not really that good.
And here they are.
And here they are.
Yeah.
And so, I think the Eagles are gonna win.
Away. By the way, this year was the first time I felt like that with my team. Like with the 49ers, it's like, you know what? Like they're consistently in the NFC Championship game. They just got one of the best running backs in the NFL. They got hit with injuries. Otherwise, they'd be playing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl probably. It's like, okay, this team is really good. They're keeping guys like John Lynch is turning down insane TV deals to be the Niners GM still. Like they're not going anywhere. And it's like, it's nice. It's like, yeah. you know, the Niners are cursed with their injuries and stuff, but it's like, you know what? Like, I know when we hit, like, January and February, like, my team is going to be in the conversation. And that's nice. It's a nice feeling. So we'll see. The Niners did, by the way, like, I don't know if you noticed them hiring Steve Wilks as their defensive coordinator, so.
Notice how Ski left the room. We were talking about just, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Conference championship week, Super Bowls. We're just always going to be there.
And, like, you know what?
Colts fan.
Screw you guys. I'm out of here.
But,
no, you know, I started talking about Wilkes, who the Panthers hired Frank Reich instead of. So I'm saying, man, my team, like, it's fucking crazy, the defensive coordinator spot for them. Like, how they don't miss. It's really crazy. Like, they keep losing defensive coordinators and gaining third round picks with compensatory picks. By the way, he's going to be another one, like, in a couple of years when he becomes a head coach somewhere.
The Niners defensive coordinator spot is like that clip of so Michael Rapaport and Snoop Dogg, where they're like sitting behind and they're pouring drinks like, this motherfucker don't miss.
He don't miss.
Yeah, it's just their hires on defense. They don't miss.
John Lynch knows defense, baby. I'm just saying. And they kept their defensive line coach Kucerik too. Like, that was big because he could have, you know, he got offered to leave with D'Amico Ryans to go to Houston. And he, by the way, like, there are a lot of scrubs who play a lot of downs on the 49ers defensive line who produce, like, year in and year out. It's crazy. So, like, that dude gets so much. And, you know, he made Eric Armstead a consistent, legit, really good defensive lineman. And so keeping him, like, it's not going to be one of those things that anybody, like, literally anybody talks about because it's a defensive line coach, but it's fucking humongous. That's a guy, Jed York, if he was making decisions, would have made a head coach a few years ago.
Like, the thing about the game, though, is it's so weird because I objectively look at the game and I go, the Chiefs have a like top four offensive line. Okay, well, the Eagles are the best.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are second in sacks.
Eagles are
the Eagles are one.
Yeah.
And one by a good, they almost set the record.
So much, yeah.
And then I'm like, well, the Chiefs have, you know, Travis Kelce and no one else. And the Eagles have A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. Okay, fuck. And then in the second, like, I could go on and on at position groups. And I'm like, the Eagles are just, they're just better here. They're just better.
Yeah.
But you look at the line and it's one, 1.5. And I start to think about it. You know, so there's some homerism here for sure. But, you know, I'm not even going to say there's not. I'm like, they got Andy. You know, who's not like an unimpeachable coach in big games or anything. I'm not saying that, but I feel like he's probably better prepared on Sunday than Nick Sirianni is. And they got the better quarterback. And the Eagles quarterback, they're both injured to some degree. But in the playoffs, Jalen Hurts has looked worse.
No, their offense, Mahomes. Their offense wasn't good against San Francisco.
It wasn't. It really wasn't. They were given like a couple gifts, and at that point, with the Niners' offense, the game was over, and they just ran the ball a ton. And when people pick the Eagles, I have no qualms. I'm like, yeah, I totally get it.
Makes sense.
But I'm sitting there going, why can't I think Mahomes is gonna like what?
What would make a person think that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs couldn't win the Super Bowl? Like, that's crazy. Like if you're picking the Eagles saying they're like head and shoulders better than the Chiefs, that's not the case. It just isn't. Like, on paper, they have better weapons, but they are not better than the Chiefs. They're just not. Like, because Patrick Mahomes. If you have the best player in the NFL at the most important position, you're better.
When Ski started mentioning this before the playoffs started, and then he amped it up after the Giants game, where the Eagles' schedule is, they're all NFL players, they're all NFL teams, so it's not like a college, you know, it's not like when Clemson's toughest game is NC State for an entire year and then bang, they're in the playoffs. But maybe the Chiefs are a little more calloused, a little more, I don't want to say built for it, because that just feels like such a TikTok thing to say, built for it.
They are, though.
But, like, are the Jags better than the Giants? Yeah. Are the Bengals better than Josh Johnson-led 49ers? Yeah.
I mean, I think it was Robbie Gould came out. I think it was Robbie Gould came out and said, if you make Jalen Hurts be a quarterback, the Eagles are in trouble.
Which is a little,
maybe a little racist, I don't know, but no, I came back just in time because
I'm still for the racist talk. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm here for all the race. No, I'm here for sticking to it. The Eagles, I think all their stats and everything are inflated for the caliber of teams they were playing in the regular season. The handful of teams that just look at the quarterbacks they faced all year. They got torched. There are a couple games that got torched were against the teams that had good quarterbacks. I don't think their defense is this world beater that everyone has been beating. Everyone is on the fucking Eagles right now. Everyone. If you're on like watching any ESPN broadcast of anything, everyone's picking Eagles. And all the money's, 80% of the money's getting bet on the Eagles. So I am fully behind hammering the Chiefs to win. Still, how do you not take Mahomes as an underdog? Give it to me every day.
That's my point. Let's see, what else should we talk about? The Pac-12.
Oh god,
apparently talking about adding San Diego State and SMU.
Thank god there's an expanded playoff. Oregon will make it, you know, a few times for sure, but Pac-12 is dead, man.
Yeah.
It's dead. It's Oregon and Washington, and, you know, depending on where you look, because a TV market's drive it, maybe Stanford and Cal, they're just waiting for the next iteration of whatever the next iteration is. Because, boy, I went full out. I started reading stuff today because, like, oh god, I have to.
Yeah.
I don't care what Canzano and Wilner and Stuart Mandel say. You can't sell me on San Diego State and SMU. They're literally saying that, oh, yeah, and they're 34,000-seat stadiums. You know, people make fun of Autzen, which can tip the scale at, like, less than 60,000. You're bringing in – I know that's not the end-all to be-all. It's TV market. But let's not pretend like anyone in the Dallas Metroplex is fucking watching SMU. There's, like, 9 teams ahead of them in that pecking order there. Like, Texas Tech, which is, like, 600 miles to the west of Dallas, has a bigger base than SMU. San Diego State doesn't have a base. And people, oh, they had Kawhi Leonard, and their basketball team is good. Basketball doesn't matter. If it did...
Basketball does not matter.
If it did, Kansas would have left the Big 12. It just... Because they have a great program. Historically, now, forever. It does not matter. Like I said,
is it a big facility thing? Because didn't San Diego State just build like brand new shit?
Yeah, but it's still
that's what
like
it is for them. Yeah,
it's right?
Still super small. It's
still small. Yeah, I mean, as of right now, I mean, what two teams would you even add to the Pac-12 to keep it?
There's no teams
to get. Right?
To me, there's no teams to get. It's just the conference is. It's a Jenga. You're playing Jenga with it. It's just a matter of time before it topples over.
I mean, Oregon's Clemson now, for the most part. You have one kind of other team that can maybe give you a threat every year in Washington. Outside of that, it's just going to be a fluky ass season from another team. Yeah, that's the only real threats.
I mean, there will be Utah. A pet every once in a while. But, well, yeah.
I think Utah's.
I don't agree at all. I think it's the opposite. Like if you're taking away both of the LA schools from their division, quote unquote, then
I mean UCLA was never a threat anyway.
No,
I'm just saying, like you take away two quality programs, like from their schedule every year, it helps. And they're already winning the conference.
But this is the only year in the history of the Pac-12, Pac-10 where they would have even had a chance to play for the conference championship. If they didn't switch the rules this year, it's not they're not playing USC in Las Vegas. So
but they
I
did,
mean,
and they did, and they won. So
did you watch Utah and at any point think they were the best team in the conference?
Absolutely not. Yep.
Okay.
But they won. Yeah.
We knew. Again, we knew. We knew week one when they played Florida that this was not the big hype team that everyone said was coming in that year.
But they won the conference. So, you know, it is what it is. So, again, a down Utah team won the conference. So I'm just saying, like, we really enjoy, and it's not just us. It's like the entire Oregon fan base. And the rest of the conference, to be frank, and really enjoy hating on Utah and overlooking Utah, not thinking they're very good, but they consistently win. So I don't know, like discounting them as a favorite to win the conference, like year in and year out, just seems silly at this point because they keep winning it. That's my point.
I still just don't see them as like a Washington level threat year in and year out, I guess.
All right.
But yeah,
and by the way, Washington's brand new as a quote unquote threat. So,
well,
I'm just saying, Utah's consistently good. So,
consistent what like the last 3 years?
Been hammering Oregon for like 10 years now.
Well,
they haven't.
No, they haven't. They beat them. No, like 5 years, but whatever, it's fine.
That's like saying Colorado.
Oregon beat them this year. Oregon kicked the shit out of him in 2019 in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah,
it's an even split between those two.
Yeah, my point is, like, we're not just saying Oregon is the clear favorite. It's Utah, it's Washington, it's like a random school, like, you know, Washington State might have a random year, Stanford's not going to have a random year anymore. I should not include them, but
Stanford is done.
Colorado might be okay in a couple years, who knows? I don't know.
Cal will never. No.
No. Arizona? My Cats?
So my thing, thinking about Pac-12 football, is some of the Michael Penix stuff. I've been like, okay, like he throws 45 times a game. That's what, of course he's going to throw for 4,500 yards, right? It's a volume shooter thing. I've done it here. And then today I see this list that 247 put out their top like 20 wide receivers in the nation. And Arizona had three of them. And I was like, again, do we not? Can someone take into account scheme and volume? And granted, one of them transferred to USC, but what's his name? Do you know his name? He was number, I think 247, number four receiver in the country. He transferred from Arizona to USC like 2 months ago. Do you know his name?
No.
No.
We need the Arizona wide receivers' names.
I don't like following Oregon's recruiting. I'm not going to follow Arizona and USC.
These aren't recruits. These are guys that are
playing. This is transfer portal.
Yeah, transfer portal. That counts.
They played at Arizona last year.
Yeah. I remember that they were good. I don't remember their names.
So you remember that they were 4-8?
Yes.
Yes. Drian Singer is apparently like the fourth best wide receiver in the country.
That's the guy.
According to 247.
He was the shorter one, right? Like the sort of veteran one, right?
It was him and Jacob Cowing.
The tall Cowing's the guy I'm thinking of. Okay.
Yeah. Right,
whatever. We've talked way too much.
Yeah, about and then that. Trictoria McMillan or whatever.
Sure.
McMillan was the other one.
But, yeah. He was the freshman, right?
Yeah, and then UW had the number three and number five wide receivers in the country. It's like, okay. Looking at some of the stats, and I'm like, Troy Franklin, who was number 18, had more touchdowns than like two of the UW guys combined. But Oregon doesn't throw 50 times a game, so. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Whatever keeps Troy Franklin coming back to Oregon instead of trying to leave early.
Oh, what did crack me up about that list is number one was Marvin Harrison Jr. No shit.
Yeah.
Number two was his teammate, what, Emeka Egbuko or whatever. So the gap between one and two, pretty big. The gap between I've watched Marvin Harrison Jr. a bunch at number one, and I watched Rome Odunze from UW, who's number three. The gap from one to they are not. They're not in the same planet. Like, no. Marvin Harrison Jr. is just that good.
Yep.
He made Jackson Smith and Jigba, who didn't play much this year, he made him a decided number two option for the Buckeyes. That Marvin Harrison guy. I wonder who his dad was. Good genes.
All that McDonald's he was eating, right? Wasn't that a thing for his dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marvin, oh,
that murder.
Yeah,
that murder.
Murder and McDonald's, the two M's.
Allegedly.
An alleged McDonald's. No, I think he admitted to that.
It's definitely not alleged McDonald's. Only alleged murders here.
All right, you got any keeper kicks for us?
Yeah, we'll run through some quick ones here.
Okay.
So they just released all the awards for the NFL like an hour ago. So we'll run through them. So first one, Mahomes MVP. Keeper kick him as the MVP this year.
Very much kick. I'm just kidding.
Kick?
No, keep him.
Keep yes, that.
Yeah, very, yeah. He's the best player in the NFL, period.
Yes, all right. Defensive player of the year, Nick Bosa.
Yeah, I'm keeping that. Yeah, a lot of people said Parsons, but like, Parsons was not as good during the playoffs. Bosa didn't do anything.
Yeah, this is regular season. No,
regular season. He changed games, man. He was great. Yeah, keep that.
Yep. All right. Offensive player of the year, Justin Jefferson.
I don't know how you're the league's MVP and you're not the offensive player of the year. If you're an offensive player, but
that's how they do it, though.
I get it.
It is.
I'm fine with it. He, what do you have, like 1,900 yards receiving?
He's really good.
But totally.
That's kind of what you were just saying about the college, where, I mean, Kirk Cousins was throwing the ball 50 times a game.
Actually, you want to know what? I'm going to kick that. Hey, Justin Jefferson, if you want to be good, how about your gritty on the field, not doing the gritty on the field? How about that, Justin Jefferson? Be gritty, not do the gritty.
All right, and last one for the award.
You motherfuckers can't see it because our video's not working, but King just dabbed.
The last one. This is the best one. Comeback Player of the Year, Geno Smith.
He wasn't hurt.
He wasn't hurt. What do you mean? Be a comeback player of the year from just being terrible.
Yeah. What's it coming back from? Just being benched?
Who is in that category?
I don't know what the qualifications for it is, but I thought it was someone coming back from injury.
Like Eric Berry coming back from like almost dying or something, right?
Not good that year either, by the way.
Yeah.
He was not.
Yeah. Extreme kick from me on that one. I don't care who the other candidates are. There must be somebody better than Geno Smith for that. Like he had a good year, but he came back from being awful. That's not being a comeback player of the year.
I will tell you who the other candidates were.
Yes, please.
J.J. Watt, Jared Goff, Nick Gates, Brandon Graham, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey.
Give me Saquon, by the way.
It's one of the running backs.
Yeah.
It's like, McCaffrey or Barkley.
But by the way,
how many games McCaffrey missed a good chunk last year?
Like, I love McCaffrey. I love McCaffrey. He missed a shit ton. But Saquon Barkley playing as well as he did this year after like the years of injuries and not being able to do anything was a great story. Give me him all day long. Geno?
The true comeback player of the year should have been Josh Jacobs. He was playing in the fourth quarter of the Hall of Fame game. That's how much the Raiders thought of his skill level. We're running you out in this non-counting game, really.
And then McCaffrey finished second, rushing. By the way.
Did he?
Yeah.
On board with Jacobs, too, by the way, man.
It's weird that he's not even on the list. Yeah.
Agreed.
If Geno Smith is on there.
Yeah, if we're giving Geno the exact same, like, all things are equal with why they would be on that list, like, it's Jacobs over Geno. Like, what are we talking about?
The crazy thing was is that I think Jacobs actually had, like, a fairly okay season last year also. He kind of got banged up a little bit, but he still scored, like, 10 touchdowns.
Best running back in the NFL this year.
But the Raiders just hated him for some reason to start the season.
Let me tell you, man, this Josh Jacobs guy. A little too black for me, man. I'm doing the John Gruden. Thing, man.
It's a little too urban.
You know an impersonation's good.
It's too urban for me, man.
You know an impersonation's good when you have to tell people their impersonation.
I haven't heard John Gruden's voice in a long time.
Well, you're supposed to do it.
I just know he says man.
From last week, that eat at Hooters, right? Isn't that right? Eat at Hooters.
Hooters, man.
Yeah,
Hooters,
guy, man. Just gotta eat at Hooters. I can't do it either.
All right, last one. The Suns getting Durant are now the favorite to win the Western Conference to make it to the finals. Keeper kick them, being the best team in the West.
Yeah.
Keep.
Yeah, keep that, especially Steph keeps getting hurt.
Yeah, I'm not trusting the Grizz.
Yeah.
Or the Nugs.
No.
That's just it. They're not trustworthy.
I feel like Jokic is just going to be one of those players who's 4 MVPs by the time he retires. Super fucking great. But, like, his offense just doesn't translate to the playoffs. Like, his game just doesn't... Like, they won't go out in the first round like Westbrook doesn't fit in the playoffs. Like, they will get... They will go on runs, but eventually just doesn't seem to fit. I don't know.
Yeah, all right. I keep the Suns as well. They should be the favorite.
Until Chris Paul gets hurt, like he always does.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Bush league ass Chris Paul. Fuck that guy. All right, let's do our list. What's our list?
Okay.
It was yours, right?
It's my list. with the superb owl on the horizon. Our list this week is the top three aesthetically pleasing jersey matchups in superb owl history.
Superb
of
owl
all time.
History. Love this. Love this. This actually took some research, but luckily there is a post on the internet that literally.
I was going to say, Bleacher Report has got to have a million of these slideshows.
It was great because it wasn't a slideshow either. It's you literally just like scroll up and down and just look at the picture. It's amazing. I was like, fuck, man, you going to make us do some research on this? Hell no. But yeah, this was nice. Okay. You want to start? Who should start?
I'll start.
Okay.
My number three, Super Bowl Live. In Miami, Chiefs, 49ers.
Ooh.
And if it was reverse, if the Chiefs were in white and the Niners were in red, it would not be on my list because the Chiefs road unis are not aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
But the Niners are classic.
Yep.
Chiefs are classic adjacent in the reds. I liked it. I liked the way it looked.
And so that's my number one, jumping ahead, because the Chiefs uniforms were really clean in that game. Like, they were really good. And then the Niners, like, even though they were wearing the away whites, like, the colors they used for the gold were different. Like, they pop different, like, than the other away uniforms they, like, usually wear. So, like, because I was looking at the list and comparing them with the other Super Bowls the Niners were in, and, like, they're way different, like way brighter, more gold almost. It was cool. Like, that's my favorite by far. And it's not just because of the Niners. Like, the Chiefs were, like, the Chiefs unis in that game were really good. So,
all right, I'll stay with the Chiefs here. I'm going Super Bowl IV, though. The Chiefs red helmet, red top against the Vikes, and they're, like, all white with the purple helmet.
Ah, the Chiefs, the gray face mask.
Yeah, the gray face mask.
Yeah, I think the Vikings were in the Super Bowl as, like, the home team twice, maybe? Maybe it was only once, but they wore, like, the purple helmets and the purple top, but they went with white pants. And I was like, oh, yeah. Such a missed opportunity, man. Like, just go all purple.
And apparently this list is brought to you by your local Kansas City Hy-Vee Price Chopper.
Yeah, look, man, your team has sick-ass uniforms. It is what it is.
They've been in a lot of Super Bowls, too, to choose from.
That, too. It helps. My team has that affinity, too. It's like, been in a lot of Super Bowls, have cool uniforms.
My number two, yes. Super Bowl 22. The Denver Broncos in their orange jerseys, sky blue helmets against the Redskins, who scored 35 points in the second quarter.
In the second quarter?
Yep.
Holy
shit. Doug Williams threw 5 touchdowns in the second quarter.
Holy shit.
The Broncos were up 10-0 at the start of the second quarter, and they were down 35-10 at half.
I feel like that doesn't get talked about enough. That's pretty impressive. I feel like
we forget about that.
Yeah. Jesus.
Is it because Doug Williams is black?
The world is just not ready for that, King. Just not ready.
I'm going to piggyback Kings here and go Super Bowl 21 with the Broncos. Because I love the blue helmet with the old, just the D with the fucking Bronco coming out of it. And they were playing kind of the old, they're playing the Giants with that just classic old school Giant unis. Yeah, yeah.
I will say that Super Bowl had the best end zone game. The bright orange Broncos with the sky blue helmet, and then the Giants went red end zone with the blue lid paint. Oh, man. Delicious.
Agreed. Let's see. My number three, because I gave my number one already, was the Ravens and Niners. So because obviously Niners, great uniforms, period. And then the Ravens with the purple and the black, and they were in the away uniforms for that one, too, which... obviously the black home uniforms would have been cooler, but you know, still nice combination. I feel like people are going to think I'm just going with Niner ones, but my number two is not that. So Niners got cool uniforms, man.
They do.
Shut up.
My number one of all time, Super Bowl XXVII, which I don't know what that is. Is that 27?
27.
27, the Buffalo Bills in their blue tops, red helmets against the Cowboys in their very bizarrely mismatching uniforms, because the helmet blue doesn't match jersey blue or the pant blue. It doesn't really make sense. But under the Pasadena sky, nestled in between the Pacific Ocean and the Arroyo Seco, it was 52-17. I don't care. I think I ate 2-foot-long subs that day. Give me the Bills and the Cowboys.
That's great. My two includes the Bills. I couldn't pick the Cowboys, man. Like, their uniforms are ugly as shit.
They're very weird.
Can't get behind
them. They're classic, but they don't make sense.
They're gray, like they're sweatpants, man. I can't get behind that. My number two, which is technically my number one in how we're doing this, Giants and Bills in 91. They were all red, white, and blue. The 91 game was just a classic, because I believe that was the Norwood miss, right?
Can we just kick around a conspiracy that the Bills and the Giants played that year, and their colors, like you said, red, white, and blue, and they played, and who sung the national anthem that year? Whitney Houston, right?
Oh yeah,
and it was super patriotic. You want to, because we just started the Persian Gulf War.
Crack is whack.
Did Paul Tagliabue kind of stage that for some patriotic stuff? I don't know who was. Should it really have been like the Niners and the Raiders? Something to ponder.
Wait, did you ask if Tagliabue staged the Gulf War?
Well, that too. But you know, just the game. I'm just saying, maybe he was looking to lift the spirits of a nation.
That's a conspiracy I can get behind, by the way. Tagliabue starting the Gulf War.
Just saying. Hey. Open your fourth eye. It could be a thing.
Yeah, needed the publicity, man. The NFL the NFL was going down at the time.
Paul Tagliabue? Ooh. Ooh, it's deeper.
To Gulfliabue?
Oh. To Gulfliabue? Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
It's all right there. It's been right there before.
It's been there the whole time. The clues are in the money. By the way, WCP, I've never thought of this before. Bills equals boy, I love losing Super Bowls. Huh.
Oh, Jim Kelly doesn't deserve that.
It's not very nice. Thermal. Aww.
James Lofton deserves better. Daryl Talley.
Daryl Talley.
Respect Mark Kelso.
That's awesome. What's your one?
All right. My number one is Super Bowl XX. This was Patriots rocking the white pants with the red top and the white helmet with the with Pat the Patriot on it against the Bears, and just the Bears had the most boring. They haven't changed their uniforms in forever, but the Patriots. I hate the Patriots, but the unis for that one were.
It's like the 85. Is that the one?
86, I believe it is.
Okay,
85 Bears, 86.
Was it 85? Yeah.
Right, 86 yeah. Super Bowl, right. Yeah, okay.
I will say that consistently when I probably found the same list you did, to be honest. And when I was scrolling, I was like, man, the Patriots, like, current Tom Brady uniforms, they're really ugly.
Yeah.
Like Patriots and Falcons hurt my face. Yeah. Patriots and Seahawks hurt my soul. Patriots, they're ugly. They're terrible.
It's right when Brady took over, because Bledsoe was still rocking kind of the cooler Patriot unis, and then Brady gets in and must have said something to Bill, like, hey, I don't want to rock these I want to be fucking boring and that rock ugly.
Got something to add to that, too. When he joined Tampa, they changed their uniforms, too, to much uglier uniforms. Huh. Brady just says, yeah, maybe, you know, that's why, you know, he has no fashion sense. I'm just saying his what ex-wife.
Ooh,
did boy. I'm just saying did have fashion. I'm just saying.
Are you saying Tom Brady did 9/11?
Tagliabue did the Gulf War. Tom Brady did 9/11. The NFL.
That'd have been more of Desert Storm 2, right?
Jesus Christ.
I don't know, man. I'm just going to do my terrible John Gruden. I'm going to start interjecting it to see how it annoys
people. All right, let's end the podcast with this, because WCP's been hanging in there even though we have no video. The audio is shoddy here. So he asks, is Andrew Luck a first ballot Hall of Famer eligible next year?
Spider Y 2 banana, man.
Yeah. Speaking of John,
I just love sports, man. I just love sports.
Speaking of John Drew, it's perfect. Perfect.
As the Colts fan, I will say no. He didn't play long enough to be a first ballot. He wasn't good his first 2 years.
Now there's
turnovers, man.
There's the question: is he a Hall of Famer at all?
No,
I kind of don't think so either. I think he has to play longer, right?
His prime wasn't long enough. He wasn't good long enough. So, unfortunately, no.
Agreed.
I'd get some apps at Hooters with him, though, man.
That's probably the last person in the NFL I could see getting apps at Hooters is Andrew Luck. Well, maybe Russell Wilson.
Yes, I'm here. I heard you have good wings.
That's true, man.
Yeah, we just
great wings, man.
Sat in Hooters, just wrote plays on napkins. Ate some spicy
12 different
wings.
Flavors, man. 12 different flavors. You get them however hot you want.
Mango habanero, man. It really gets you, man.
Real versatile flavors. Real versatile. Yeah.
You just turn in Chucky into more of like a surfer guy.
I know. You noticed that too?
Yeah.
I lost it. I lost the plot. I spun the dreidel and had it going straight for about three attempts. And then
it's great.
It really drifted off.
That's good to know. You can only keep room going for handful of times.
I don't think we ever landed on a good Gruden at any point anyway. So
but it's your Gruden, man.
No, you heard my Gruden. It's terrible. That's what I'm saying. You mentioned it earlier. We haven't heard Gruden talk in like 10 years. Like, I don't know what the guy sounds like anymore.
Get the wings, man.
Get some wings, man.
David Carr guy, man. Dylan. He's a real player.
Flavors are versatile. Remind me a lot of Edgerrin James.
You ever tried cilantro, man?
You ever try cilantro, man?
I can't. It's such a fine line. I don't know. It goes from bad to like really bad.
You just went to real. You went to East LA. There is where you went after that.
How did Gruden turn?
Long in East LA.
How did Gruden turn to Cheech that quick?
He just took a drive down the fucking 102, man, or whatever. I didn't know it. East to west highway there.
I don't know, man.
Take a drive up the PCH, man.
405, man.
405.
Jammed. It's jammed.
Let's fucking stop this.
Let's get out of here. What are we doing?
Again, Sunday, Ghostbusters. Listen to it. All right, bye.